As we've often talked about here on Issues and Ideas, New Jersey's economic stability and direction are lagging, to say the least. Yet in spite of that reality, the politicians in Trenton fail to understand that after you dig 6 feet down, you're kind of supposed to stop digging. The effects of economic unfriendly policies in New Jersey are spotlighted in a new report about the economic outlook of states. Adding to the turmoil is the apparently inevitable introduction of a health care individual mandate here in New Jersey. My first guest today is here to review all this. She is the New Jersey State Director for Americans for Prosperity, Erica Jednak. How are you today, Erica?
Chris, thanks for having me.
AmericansForProsperity.org/state/new-Jersey. Let's start with the individual mandate. This may come as a shock, disappointment, discouragement for more New Jersey residents, because just when we thought we were out from under the thumb of Obamacare, the Democrats in New Jersey just feel the need to find a way to get more money to promote a cause that most people don't want.
Sure. And I think we've seen it fail over the past years at the federal level. And just when we're getting some relief from Congress and the president, the New Jersey legislature and governor are passing individual mandate here in New Jersey. So they're taking failed policy and replicating it here when we really should be looking at competition across state lines and increasing the amount of health care for residents, not fining them if they can't afford it.
And the vote wasn't exactly a mandate. In the assembly, it passed by a spread of 50 to 23 with six not voting. And in the state Senate, 22 to 13 with five not voting. In the Senate, was 1877. And the state assembly bill was A3380. And much like the federal individual mandate, you'd have to pony up 2.5% of your income if you do not have health insurance. I was looking through some, and it would also be $695 per taxpayer, $347.50 per child, up to a family maximum of $2,085 if you don't carry insurance. But even those who are in favor of the idea have a problem with this because they haven't seen the financials all worked out, where if a parent in a couple and multiple children family has health coverage through their place of employment and can't afford to cover the rest of the family, how are they going to pay the penalty?
It's a very good question, and I'm not sure our legislators or governor had really thought about this thoroughly. I mean, this is the beginning of the administration. It's almost like spaghetti against a wall. And again, whether that's being able to purchase a plan across state lines, increasing competition, even having a wider range of choices of plans so people can pick and choose based on their lifestyle and their situation. More flexibility, free market ideas, that's the direction we need to go. And I just happen to think here in New Jersey, we're going to have to hit a wall pretty soon as far as, you know, we're overtaxing, fining people until they're just fleeing the state.
Does an idea like the individual mandate penalize the insurance industry in any way through limitations as opposed to offering an expansion of business through more affordable rates? Because if I'm understanding the bill right, it's also going to dictate the rates of insurance policies.
Yeah, this is just more over government regulation of the health insurance industry, right? It's good for the companies who have it in, but again, more competition always allows business to flourish.
So you can look forward to that just when you thought your 2019 tax returns next year would be free of an, although this will be, I guess, at the earliest they can institute this starting in 2019, which they want to do. So we're going to see this rush through with probably not everything figured out. And much like with Obamacare, I guess maybe we can hire Nancy Pelosi to come up here to say we need to pass it before we can find out what's in it.
Too bad.
Yeah. Welcome to New Jersey, and the exit signs over there. You know, it's getting kind of sad, Erica, when the most booming industry in the state is the moving van industry, because that's how many people are starting to get out of here.
It is. And it's a brain drain for millennials as well.
Well,
it's breaking up families, right? Grandparents are no longer being able to see their grandkids every Sunday like they used to. It's really sad, and I don't think people talk enough about just the emotional impact on families here.
Well, especially with this individual mandate, because it's the younger people who don't feel the need to take insurance because, you know, you're young, you feel invincible, you don't get sick, you take care of yourself. So why would I want to stay here, pony up 2.5% of my salary because I don't want to get what you're selling?
Sure. Or there just should be alternatives. So pre-Obamacare, you know, young people could get a catastrophic plan. So something that covers the needs and fits their wallet, their paycheck, right? Covers them should there be, you know, some major surgery or an accident, something unfortunate like that. But otherwise, if someone's relatively healthy, it should be their choice, the type of plan that they're going to buy.
Or there's the health saving account where you just, sure, you can have your payroll deduction to take out whatever you want every 2 weeks. And there's your nest egg in case something happens or you need a maternity care or whatever the case may be. But that seems, that just doesn't fit into the plan in Trenton, it sounds like.
No, and whether that's retirement or health care, millennials really care about flexibility.
Talking with Erica Jednak, who is the New Jersey State Director for Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org is their website. And in the top left-hand side of the page, you can see a drop-down menu for all the states that they have chapters in, including, of course, New Jersey. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So that all leads us to a recent report that came out regarding state economic competitive indexes. And, of course, as we've grown accustomed to here in New Jersey, anything to do with economics, New Jersey, you want to find it, look toward the bottom of the list. And that's where we are again, 49th for economic performance rank, 46th for economic outlook rank, which probably that's even actually the economic outlook rank is probably more disturbing and distressing than the current performance rank, because if you look ahead and see a dark future, that's not a good thing.
No, so this report just came out. It's called Rich States, Poor States. You can actually go to www.richstatespoorstates.org. And it was put out by the American Legislative Exchange Council. Jonathan Williams is the vice president of ALEC and their chief economist. And it's a very interesting website. They put together all the tax policies, the debts, pension systems, everything for all 50 states and compile it into an economic outlook. Our ranking is actually slightly higher than it's been in the past. It's only 46, by the way. By no fault of our own, just because places like Illinois, for example, are getting much worse. But the big offenders in New Jersey for the poor economic outlook are just the amount of debt we have and the property tax burden, besides just the personal income tax rate. And the one interesting thing about the website on Rich States, Poor States is you have now a red tab where you can choose, hey, if we lowered the property tax burden, if we lowered corporate taxes, you can actually play around with the numbers yourself and see how New Jersey's rank could rise. And that's what should be shared with legislators.
Or we can actually just look back to 2013, because if you roll back to that year, the economic outlook rank for the state was 39th. That was significantly better than the current 46. And if you look at the subcategories of top marginal personal income tax rate, ranked at 46 there, personal income tax progressivity, that's 48. Property tax burden, 48. So most people probably would have thought we'd have been dead last there, but not quite. However, in a state inheritance tax levied, so it puts New Jersey at number 50. I mean, there are some, I guess, positive notes. You look at debt service as a share of tax revenue. We rank 14th. Recently legislated tax changes, although new governor, this number is probably going to change drastically from this year to the next year report. We're currently ranked number 16. Sales tax burden, again, something that's going to change to the negative. Currently it's number 12. But as you said, if we get the legislators in Trenton to look at some of those positive and say, you know, hands off the sales tax, hands off the taxes and increasing the tax burden, hands off the kick in more on the debt service as a share of tax revenue, that would be at least a start to improving the future for New Jersey economically.
Sure. And especially in light of federal tax reform at the end of last year, right, with the doubling of the standard deduction, there were a lot of positives for New Jerseyans as well as some negatives, right? So with the SALT deduction cap being put in place, some people may be hurt. I think when I saw it was about 90% of New Jerseyans are going to benefit from federal tax reform. Some will be in a wash, and then it's under 10% who would be negatively nicked. And that is because of our very high property taxes here. And I think that creates an opportunity at the state level. Even Senate President Sweeney says we need to overhaul the tax code here in New Jersey. We need to take a look at the school funding formula. So there are legislators on both sides of the aisle, likewise Senator Mike Doherty or Assemblyman Jay Weber, who are talking about, hey, how can we overhaul taxes, especially in light of the federal tax reform? Because there's a slew of other states across the country who are taking this opportunity to either match the federal tax code or come up with their own reforms so that the burdens are less on people. And you could just even take a look. There's a tab there for right to work. There's things like the Janus case at the Supreme Court level that are coming up and could potentially create a right to work zone over the entire country. So I tell everyone here in New Jersey, sit tight, and we're going to be fighting for you.
And there was a little ray of hope, strangely enough, from the state Senate because they pushed back against the governor on school funding to a degree, which surprised many. Most people would have thought they would have been walking in lockstep with that. And every so often, State Senate President Steve Sweeney can drift to the center on some economic issues, so that could be a lift as well. But as Erica mentioned, it seems, at least for the here and now, that everything that the federal government is going to put back into your pocket, the state of New Jersey looks to be reaching into your pocket to grab it for themselves. Learn more about the economic situation of New Jersey, of the present and the future of richstatespoorstates.org, and to become a part of the effort of Americans for Prosperity. Their website is americansforprosperity.org. You can do the drop-down menu on the top left-hand side for New Jersey or whichever state you're listening in, if you're listening on the stream as well. And we've been talking with the New Jersey State Director for Americans for Prosperity, Erica Jednak. Erica, thanks for being here today.
Chris, thanks for having me.